As we open the Word of God, let's pray and ask for God's understanding. And even better, ask for God's to work in our own hearts, our own minds, and especially that area we like to call our wills, that He could just reshape and remold our very thinking, our own heart's desires to come in line to look like His dear Son. Father, Your Word is powerful. It is sharp, like a cleaver or a two-edged sword or a surgeon's scalpel, dividing between joint and marrow and soul and spirit. Use this morning Your Word to cleave away that from our lives that does not look like Christ, and use Your healing touch and Your sculptor's tools to mold our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our wills to reflect the image of Jesus. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, all of you look really nice this morning, but let's be honest. How many of you had trouble getting dressed? Now, I don't mean you stayed up so late you had to prop your eyes open with toothpicks. I mean you couldn't tell the difference between blue-striped dark suit and a black striped dark suit. Or better yet, how about your socks? Do they both match? You know, getting dressed for the new year is not so much different. It is a learned behavior. When you were little, you learned to tie your shoes right over left, make the loop, tuck it through. It was something we had to learn to do. Now it comes naturally, but then we had to learn how to do it, and we struggled for a while. When we had to change our... I remember my mom, one of her favorite expressions was, "Bud, it's the fifth day you've worn that pair of jeans. Take them off, throw them in the laundry. You could probably stand them up, and they'd stay there all by themselves. It's time to get changed sometime." We need to understand that getting dressed is something that has to happen in a way that is a learned behavior, that polka dot shirt does not go with striped pants. Those things don't work. My wife is constantly checking me before I go out the door. I said, "Honey, what's the difference?" She said, "It makes a big difference, because when you walk out the door, how you look reflects upon me." And I'm going, "Wow, I didn't think about that." But how we look to a world reflects upon Jesus, does it not? Does it not? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, new things have come, including our clothes." In Colossians chapter 3, a few weeks ago, we talked about taking off old clothes. Not the clothes, the threads that hang about our bodies to give us a certain sense of modesty, but the spiritual clothes that we used to engage in before we knew Christ as Savior. All of those negative anti-virtues, if you will. Greed and malice and anger and that whole list in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But this morning, we're going to be looking at putting on new clothes. You see, removal alone seldom works very well. Replacement is the thing we need to engage in. So in Colossians 3:10, the Apostle Paul says, "And having put on the new self, who is being renewed by a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him." So this morning, we're going to be putting on new clothes. Now, we're going to look at three different things. First of all, what the new clothes look like. Now, that's in Colossians 3, chapter 10 through 17. The second thing we're going to discuss is how we actually put them on. It actually makes a difference how you do it. And then the third thing is why we do it. All right, so let's look at what these new clothes look like. We must dress like Jesus. Look at Colossians 3:10. "According to the image of the one who created him." We need to dress like Christ. I don't mean use the first century garb, but I do mean in dress in the sense that our demeanor, our attitude, our will, our words, our actions need to reflect the new creature we've been born into. A new creature in Jesus Christ. Now, The very first thing that shows up in this text, and we back up a little bit to a previous teaching, but it really is in verse 11. The very first thing this new clothes look like is there is conspicuous absence of racial, political, and social prejudice. It has no place in the body of Christ. Now, we dealt with that as one of those negative things when we dealt with this section of Scripture right before Thanksgiving. So I really don't want to unpack that again, but it is in the list of renewal, so we mentioned it this morning. The next item of clothing, or the next way these clothes appear, is a deep felt compassion that moves us to action. Look at verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Now it's interesting, most of us think of the heart as the seat of our emotions. The Greek didn't think that way. The Greek thought here was the seat of your emotions. And if you really think about it, I think they were right. I mean, when you're overly worried about something, you don't feel it in your chest unless you're having a heart attack. You feel it in your guts. So really, it's kind of interesting. The word splunkna is used here, and it really means to have a gut full of compassion. A gut full. Because sometimes it's our guts that moves us to action. The Good Samaritan was moved to action in Luke chapter 10 to minister to a man who was beaten beside the side of the road and that highly religious people passed by because they didn't want anything to do with him. We need to be the kind of people who are compassionate enough to act. Even a child understands that. There was an author, Clara Null, who wrote, "It was one of the worst days of my life." I think we can all identify with this. "The washing machine broke down. The telephone kept ringing. My head ached. The mail carrier brought a bill. I had no money to pay. Almost to a breaking point, I lifted my one-year-old into his high chair and just simply leaned my head down on the tray and began to cry. Almost without thinking, my one-year-old unplugged the nook in his mouth and shoved it in my mouth," she writes. That's compassion. We want to make them feel better. We want to do something. Now, that takes all kinds of forms, whether it means sitting down and feeling someone's empathy or actually having something tangible that we can fix. That's where most of us guys come in. We're great fixers. But here's the thing. Being moved, compassion should be part of the clothing that we put on. Kindness is another. Kindness. John Wesley wrote, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can." Kindness. Humility. Now, we're not talking about the self-deprecation, which sometimes is a sugar-coated way of drawing attention to yourself. What we mean here is the kind of attitude of heart and mind when other people are considered more important than yourself. Humility. Matthew chapter 18, the Lord Jesus asked, "Who is the greatest then in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child next to himself and says, "Here's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become like a child, unless you become like a child, you'll not even enter the kingdom of heaven." In John chapter 13, Jesus, at that last supper, poured water into a basin, took off his own garments, wrapped himself with a towel, and began to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter was aghast. "Lord, what are you doing? You're the master. We're the servants. We probably should have done this before we even entered the room." You need to understand that if I, the master, am washing you, the disciples' feet, in that same attitude of humility, you need to consider one another that very same way. Get off your high horse, get down low, and help somebody. It is so critically important. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we are instructed, not suggested, but instructed to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, consider other people more important than ourselves. And if that mindset is firmly entrenched in us, the actions, the words, the will to do will follow. Let me ask a question. Does God notice that you regularly think and act in ways that truly consider other people more important than you? gentleness, that is power under control. Moses was a powerful man. He led millions of people. But the scriptures declare him to be a gentle man, and Jesus, with the ability to call 10,000 angels, the creator of the universe. He is described as a man who would not put out a smoldering wick and break a reed. Power under control. In the power that you possess, financial, familial, relationships with those outside your family, whether it's business or work-related, are you a person who is powerful but under control of the Holy Spirit? It's a question I think we all need to ask ourselves. And what about patience, that other part of the clothing that we need to be putting on? Patience is a state of emotional calm in the face of provocative or misfortune without complaint or irritation. That's a patient person. My dad was a patient person. He had to be. He had a kid like me. He was a man who taught me to drive and fish and hunt when I would do crazy things in all of those endeavors and be counterproductive. But Dad would patiently sit and re-instruct and help me on the way. You know, it's funny. That patience needs to be exhibited by all of us, because sometimes in our zeal to clean up our own lives or even the lives of others or just to do the work we normally do, sometimes we can get ourselves so excited and so worked up that our attitude and our approach counteracts what we're really trying to do. There was a dad that purchased a fish tank for his kids because his kids had won 3 goldfish at a fair. Isn't that always a joy for a parent? You come home with these 3 things you're ill-prepared to keep nor desire. So he goes out and he goes to the pet store and he sees these fish tanks. There's 10-gallon, 20-gallon, 30-gallon, and the 10-gallon tank is $50, and he's going, that ain't happening. So on the way home, after not purchasing anything, he sees a yard sale, and there is a whole fish tank set. You know, the pump and the air hoses and the tank itself, but it's really cruddy. So he goes home, and he's just anxious to get these fish in water and get it out of his hair. So he takes a good cleanser, and he just washes the inside of this fish tank, puts the fish in it. Yeah, you know what's coming. Yeah. 8 hours, one of them's belly up. That night, 2 more go. Well, his fish problem's gone. But in his haste, you never, ever, ever, if you know fish tanks at all, ever put any kind of soap or a cleanser in the tank. It'll kill all the fish. So in his zeal to get the job done, his impatience, rather than finding out what he's supposed to do, killed all the fish. Now here's the thing. Sometimes in our zeal to clean up our lives, we use killer soaps like condemnation, criticism, nagging, fits of temper. We're trying to do the right thing, but our harsh, self-centered attitudes just kill the whole endeavor. We need to be patient people, which follows in the next phrase, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. Interesting, and a Puritan writer wrote this: I would recommend to all my brethren, as the most necessary thing to the church's peace, that you unite in necessary truths and tolerate tolerable failings, and bear with one another in things that may be borne with, and do not make a larger creed and more necessities than God has done. Bear with one another. Nobody's perfect, starting with yourself. Bear with one another. The next character of our clothing is love. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of peace in verse 14 of chapter 3. It is indeed, according to 1 Corinthians 13, I've come up with my own definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says this: love is patient, kind, not jealous, doesn't brag, isn't arrogant, doesn't act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, here's the definition. Love is an intentional choice. to act in a benevolent way towards someone else when circumstances and feelings dictate otherwise. Love is an intentional choice to act in a benevolent way towards someone else when circumstances and feelings dictate otherwise. How about the peace of Christ? We are told, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said in John chapter 14, and my peace I give to you. That peace works itself out as we encounter various anxiety-producing situations and even relationships. And for that, the Apostle Paul expands upon Jesus' peace when he speaks in Philippians chapter 4. So here's the thing. That's what it looks like. Now, how do we put it on? Now, how you put clothes on is actually important. Now, you may need to look down at your feet, but how many of you have your left shoe on your right foot? I mean, that sounds silly, but a child has to learn that. And you have to teach them that. Otherwise, that could be very painful. What if you put your pants on backwards? That may not work very well. It could be very, very uncomfortable. But it's how you do it that really counts. What if you put your pants and shirt on first and then put your under things over your outer things? Well, you would be properly covered to go into decent society. But believe me, no one would take you seriously. No one. What if you were to put your pants on your arms? Now, some of you are laughing. But recently that happened. WFMZ reported a story where a man breaks into a home wearing pants on his arms. Police arrested 28-year-old fleeing the scene. A man tried to break into a Central Florida home wearing nothing but pants on his arms. Don't ask why. According to authorities, Associated Press reports that the man faces a number of charges. No kidding. The 28-year-old suspect was apprehended as he ran down the street naked with only pants on his arms. Really? Somebody needs to teach that boy how to get dressed. But it is spiritually critical that we get the process of how to dress. Right. Now, Paul outlines that in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 16. We need to put our clothes on the inside of us, spiritually speaking. Because if we put our spiritual clothes on the inside, they will show up on the outside. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That means I got to get the Bible in. I got to get it into here, and I got to get it into here. Or I guess the Greeks would say, I got to get it into here. Geico, garbage in, garbage out, we're all familiar with that. What about Sisso? Scripture in, scripture out. Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night, for he shall be like a tree which bears fruit in its season, its leaf also will not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. God promises that as we memorize Scripture and as Scripture has an effect on our lives, we're going to be like a tree that are planted next to irrigation ditches, as my Hebrew professor would say, that have a constant source of water, a constant source of nutrients so that we can produce the spiritual fruit that Christ wants. So the Word of God's got to go in. It's got to go in. We need to sit under wise teaching of the Word of God. Look at Colossians 3:16. So that the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. That teaching, we need to intentionally be here to hear the word of God proclaimed, to be in Sunday school, to hear it taught and dialogue with the teacher and other classmates as to how it fits into our lives and how we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit of God in these processes. And sometimes we need help to put these clothes on. Look here, in Colossians chapter 3:16, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness into your hearts to God. How many of you had help getting dressed this morning? You may not want to admit it. But there are times when we need help getting dressed, a broken leg, a broken foot, or a bum wing that, you know, you can't do what you need to do and you got to get some help. I had a friend one time went into the military. It was graduation day, and they had a drill sergeant like probably every other drill sergeant, but he describes them in very colorful metaphors. So what they decided to do was they didn't want to leave anything to chance. So they starched and ironed their Class A's, their dress uniform, to the point where you could probably cut your finger on the crease. They didn't want to leave any wrinkles for this sergeant to get down on them. So what they did was this. After they got everything all ironed and all laid out, four guys helped one guy get dressed. Two guys on one side would grab an arm, raise him up, and lower him into his pants. Now, that sounds a little silly, and I don't need four men to get me dressed. But they didn't want anything happening to these clothes. And then two guys, one on each side of the pants, held them carefully open so the legs would just slide right in and no wrinkles. Now, that is a little silly and it's a little extreme, but the scriptures say that we need to speak to one another. We need to admonish one another. That word admonish can mean several things: to warn, to instruct, to encourage in the right way. It's the idea that we need to be the kind of people that allow our brothers and sisters in Christ to speak into our lives, to help us grow and walk with Jesus. And if we go out the house with maybe a spiritual shirt hanging off in a wrong way, we got to have a brother or sister in Christ said, you know, maybe we need to sit down and talk about an attitude adjustment, or about the language I just heard you use, or the attitude toward your wife and children right now really isn't Jesus-like. Can we sit down and talk and pray? And it's kind of interesting, in this passage, they also put music to it. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The Psalms, of course, were from the Old Testament. Spiritual songs were not from the Old Testament, but they spoke spiritual truth. And spiritual songs were a similar thing in the Scripture, all very similar to say that we need to take our scriptural truth and put music to it. Music is an important medium that we can remind ourselves of our walk with Jesus. It's why we use hymns and the worship songs and instruments. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Al Smith, the late Dr. Al Smith, said that when you set scripture to music, it goes in twice as fast and stays twice as long. And psychologists have actually discovered why it works that way. It's a left brain, right brain thing. Music is an emotional media. It is. It appeals to the emotions. That is music apart from words. You marry it with words now, and now you're using, well, right side of the brain is creative, left side of the brain. I've got that right, don't I? Right side of the brain is creative, and left side of the brain is... See, one of my sides isn't working right now. But one of them's creative and one of them isn't. And so you take the scriptural data, put it to music, and now the whole thing's going. And it's been proven that things set to music last a whole lot. My kids memorized tons of scripture by sitting in the car going somewhere to GT tapes. It was kind of like... What am I going to compare it to? It's like a story, and every now and then they'd break and sing a song, but the song were simply pure scripture, and somebody put music to them. And my kids are 30-some years old, and they can sing these songs today, and they know scripture because it went in that way. They admonish one another. Now, we're also going to need the help of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Keep your finger in Colossians, but turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You're going to find something very, very interesting. We just read in Colossians chapter 3, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. But in Ephesians chapter 5, we are told to not get drunk with wine, but be filled, that is, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And listen to what happens when that happens. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus to God, even the Father. Same effect, slightly different cause. So the Holy Spirit is the one who Jesus said would take what he taught, his word, bring it up in our memories and apply it to our lives. The Holy Spirit is the one that we need to yield our control to, or to surrender to. Maybe there ought to be more hand waving in church, or even better, hand waving at home. I don't mean hi, friend, and I don't even mean praise the Lord. What I do mean is, I give up, God. I surrender. Take control. And then those clothes go on pretty well. And they show up pretty brightly in a community. Why? What's the purpose? Well, the purpose is this. Whatever you do in word or deed in verse 17 of Colossians 3, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's what some of the companies would call a number of years back signature service, that every one of our technicians, when they come to their home, will sign their name, and we'll know exactly who did what, because when you sign your name to something, people know you did it. And the reputation of that thing will come back to you. Think for a moment. If we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, if Christ paid the ransom for our debt of sin on the cross, and as we have placed our faith and trust in him, we are now believers in Jesus Christ. We are not our own. We've been purchased. So everything that we do now reflects on Jesus. It needs for us to be intentional about the living out of our lives. In everything we do, it says on the doors when you come into the sanctuary, should be done to the glory of God. Here it's a little bit more specific, mentioning the name of Jesus. Do all in the name of Christ. Why? To showcase Jesus to a watching world. Think for a moment. How many of your friends would never darken the door of a church? Probably a lot. So they need to see Christ in you. In the very clothing that we've described this morning, the kindness, the humility, and all the rest, they need to see Christ in you. And if they know you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got your old jeans on, the ones that'll stand up by themselves because they need a good cleaning. That too will reflect in Jesus, but it won't reflect well. We need to understand that we need to have a plan. So I ask you for the plan for 2017 to showcase the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to make a difference in your life and in mine. What's your plan? Here's some suggestions. With intentional prayerful action to put off my old nature, I need to live every moment of every day putting on the virtues and the graces found in Jesus. I need to live every moment of every day faithfully inputting the Word of God into my heart and into my mind. It is so critical. And I need to submit myself to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God so that they may control me and not others, not even myself. And I need to allow my brothers and sisters in the Lord to speak into my life with instruction, correction, and encouragement. If I'm going to wear the right kind of clothes, the spiritual clothes that people desperately need to see. Now, I have a challenge for you. You'll notice that on the handout that I gave you, there's like dotted lines in the middle. That is not a copier mistake. One side, I should have explained this at the beginning of the sermon, the left side was for you to write in, don't touch the right side. Here's what the right side is for. If you are married, when you get home, give your copy to your spouse and ask your spouse, maybe with a positive or a negative, a positive being you're doing well in this area, keep it up, brother or sister. Keep it up, dear wife. Keep it up, dear son, dear daughter, dear mom or dad. And put a negative in an area maybe where improvement needs to happen. Would you allow your brother and sister to admonish you, as the scriptures just said, in an area that you may need it? In an area that you may need, so that when you walk out the house, or when you wake up in the morning, you're wearing the right kind of spiritual clothes. Let's pray. Father, we are gathered here because we have been bought with a price, and that price is the lifeblood of your Son, suffering on the cross for our sins. And if we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, you promise to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us. But Father, you also expect that we have been purchased for a purpose. And that purpose is so that we can be a workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that you've laid out ahead of time. You told us that our good works are to shine as lights to a world, that when others see the kind of clothes that were described this morning, that they would glorify our Father who is in heaven. That's the purpose. And Father, I plead with you in my own life. It's quite a list here. Help me to be honest with myself. And help Julie to be honest with me. In areas that I need to make some adjustments so that Christ could be seen in me. And I ask it for all of us, that we would be the kind of brothers and sisters in Christ that would cherish helpful, constructive input from others. Lord, we love you. Thank you for buying us. Help us to put on the clothes so that people would see Jesus. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.